Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back. It is Beamer in for Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. In the first hour, we were talking about the road diet that was not approved in Tonawanda. And we got to talking about a lot of traffic issues and biking in traffic. And Jimmy hopped on with us. And now we are joined by the communication director at Go Bike Buffalo, Kevin Heffernan. You've heard him here before. Back with us, Kevin. Thank you so much for making some time this afternoon.
Hey, thanks for including us in this. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. Let's go to that decision in Tonawanda. You know, a lot of people pushing back with, well, it will be bad for, you know, getting out onto the street, or it'll be bad for rush hour traffic. Your just general thoughts on the road diet plan and what some people were saying in response.
Sure. And as I understand it from Councilmember Jillian O'Malley's post, that this vote down was really to allow them to reexamine, because the county work is going to happen either way to repave that road. So they have to come up with some plan. So they're reexamining. I wouldn't call this project dead. But with a road diet, it was Tonawanda's own traffic engineer that presented this as the best option to improve safety. And, you know, it's funny with roads. You know, if Tonawanda hired a financial advisor to ask them, you know, how to improve their town's finances, they wouldn't then take it to the public and say, does anybody have any altering opinions that don't have any evidence to back them up? But yet with road design, we do that all the time. So when their own traffic engineer is using his expertise to say this is the path forward, why should it be overturned by people who have an opinion on it that doesn't have any evidence that backs it up? So we have been posting to our social today, rebuttals to some of those claims. One was that you would slow down emergency vehicles. The opposite is true. You can imagine if there's four lanes of traffic and a fire truck's coming through, it creates limited spaces for people to pull over. But if you have a center turn lane and two bike lanes on the shoulders that cars could pull into in an emergency, you open that street wide for that fire truck, ambulance, or police car. Another claim made was this is going to decrease my property value. According to the Federal Highway Administration, the opposite is true. Property values go up and retail at adjacent businesses goes up. And then another claim was it's going to make congestion worse. It's going to make the road less safe. Again, you can just look to the United States Department of Transportation's websites, and they refute that as well. What you have now with those four lanes is if someone wants to make a left and if they make it abruptly, they could be crashed into from behind. And that also creates the chaos of trying to merge into the right lane to get around them. You move them into a center turn lane and you remove that problem. And then it also creates better sight lines for that left turner. It also makes it safer for people on cross streets to go through or to enter that roadway. Because there's less lanes to cross. So safety is improved. And then when it comes to congestion, if the town is able to synchronize lights, that issue is moot as well. Because with the four lanes that you have, you sort of have this accordion experience where it's hurry up and stop and everybody crunches together. But when you sync those lights, road diets have been proven to move traffic more efficiently through an area, even though those cars are driving slower. So, you know, it would take town officials hearing this, a quick Google search to refute those opinions. It would take those residents making those opinions a quick Google search to realize that they may be incorrect.
You've got to be used to it by now, right? Of any time something's proposed that's different than what people are used to. I mean, you probably get bombarded with a lot of the myths that you just brought up.
Yeah, absolutely. And we get it, right? Things have been this way in Western New York for 50 plus years. And that is a lot of muscle memory for people, and it makes them fear change. But, you know, you fear it because you don't understand it. And again, it's so easy to look it up and see really simple graphics of how these changes do improve things. We call it windshield bias. You know, that windshield bias is not just, you know, when you're in a car and you don't think twice about passing a cyclist at a dangerously close distance. It's also that you're really not thinking about the reality of traffic violence on our roadways as you would other topics. So we certainly do encounter it all the time, and we're just constantly trying to put out the kind of graphics that are really easily digestible. And like I said, over the next couple of days, you'll see those going up over our social media. And I'd be happy to send them to your team, too, to post on the website, because you know, at the end of the day, the more people that see these and understand it, the more people are going to get behind it. It's not like we're just trying to prove people wrong to be right in this argument. It's that we need more people to say like, oh, that actually will improve safety for me, not just if I'm walking or biking, but actually as a driver, this is cutting down crashes as well. So I think that's a line we always try to include too, like road diet in itself makes it safer for drivers first, and then they sometimes create space for bike lanes. So at GoBike, our number one priority is increasing safety for all road users. That's drivers, walkers, bikers, wheelchair users. If we can fit a bike lane in here or there, we love it. It encourages more people to ride, more people of all different abilities and confidence levels. But the biggest thing we're trying to do with this organization is decrease injuries and deaths on our roadways. And road diets are an excellent way to do that.
Not to put you on the spot, Kevin, but where are some other spots, if any, in Western New York that you've had your eye on that you think a road diet is necessary?
Oh, not far from there, right? Sheridan. How many times have you driven on Sheridan? And even, you know, somebody who never walks or bikes would be like, this road is massive and it is never fully utilized. So like Sheridan is one that could certainly absorb even a protected cycle track because shoulder lanes are nice. I mean, we used to fight for just that Sharrow symbol and call that a victory. And now shoulder lanes, you realize that when a driver's, you know, in a very large vehicle and they're on their phone and they drift into that bike lane, that thin line of paint doesn't protect you very much. So when you put up a protected cycle track, like the one on Niagara Street, that's when you have families say like, okay, I feel comfortable taking my kids into this. And now all of us can ride somewhere. So, you know, if there's calls to walk more, bike more, improve your health, improve your mental health, then you look out at the roadway and you think like, there's no way, you know, Colvin Avenue itself, it's too dangerous to ride on right now. And yet half the detractors are saying, well, why would we change it? There's no one riding on it. It's like, of course there isn't. It's too dangerous. It's, we got to flip that chicken or the egg, and if you build it, they will ride. So yeah, Sheridan's certainly one. I even thought, you know, the road diet that Delaware Avenue, the city of Buffalo received, was a dramatic improvement. It's kind of the same exact design. But you know, at GoBike, we say if you could have fit those two shoulder bike lanes, then you could have also probably fit a, protected cycle track. So just asking people to, like, when you're on those roads that are extremely wide, be conscious of them, because when they're that wide, you suddenly feel empowered to speed. You feel empowered to check your phone because you feel like, oh, there's nothing dangerous on here. When you narrow roads, your subconscious sort of says, you know, I better put that phone down. I should slow down. Like, I'm getting pretty close to things here. I want to make sure I'm being careful. So any road in Western New York that is just absolutely oversized invites danger. And the smaller we make them does not mean that we're creating traffic jams. It just means that drivers are going to be safer. And oftentimes it means that traffic moves even more efficiently.
You know, Kevin, it's funny you mentioned the road, you know, the bike lane, not the protected one, but the bike lane. I think of the one here on Sheridan, and I drive the smallest, most basic SUV I think you can purchase. And even I, you know, find myself sometimes with a tire in that bike lane. And I was thinking the same thing, like, it is now the big thing to push for what we see on Niagara Street. I mean, that was obviously a win. Is that now the norm to push for more of that than the unprotected bike lane?
It certainly is. Like I said, we were fighting for sharrows, then we fought for shoulder lanes, and now we're fighting for these protected. It's because if we're ever going to create that change that makes these communities better connected, that allows kids to ride their bikes to school again, and all the mental health benefits that come from that, it's really hard to send your kid out on that shoulder. But when it's protected, and that can mean anything from as simple as using rubber on the sides that you would usually see at the front end of a parking spot in a parking lot, you know, that your tires would hit and keep you from going over it. You can use that parallel with the roadway, and that protects someone. And that's a cheap way to do it with a couple stand-up bollards. Or you can pour concrete and protect them that way, too. So towns can demo this. We've certainly demoed it in Buffalo. You let people try it out as opposed to snapping your fingers and it's coming in next week. You know, you demo it for 6 months, you survey people before and after. And what we've found when we do this is there's a lot of opposition when it's about to go in. And then after it has been in, people are like, hey, that wasn't that bad. It's kind of grown on me. We had a note when we redid Parkside and Linden in the city of Buffalo from a parent who said, you know, I really hated this, but I thought I should reach out and say my daughter loved it because she was able to get to the park more easily. So now I'm backing it too. So letting people try these things out. And then we also have machines that measure usage and car speed. So we usually see pedestrians go up, cyclists go up, and car speeds drop. And for us, that's a huge win. So that's a tactic that a lot of municipalities can employ, especially if they're feeling a little nervous about their constituents' reception, and say, hey, this is going to be in for 5 months. We're going to make it all temporary. We're going to measure it and talk to you about it. And they're going to find that at the end, the reaction to it is going to be positive. So we work with municipalities around Western New York with those kind of tactics, and we're ready to work with more.
Kevin, I got another question for you, but I have two questions from the text board, if you don't mind. One person says, how does this affect snow removal? And another person asked, why is there a bike path and bike lane on River Road? Not sure about that second one, but the first one, snow removal. Will a road diet affect snow removal in the winter?
Sure. So I'd use Delaware Avenue in the city as a prime example of that, because it's essentially the exact same road design. No. So when that snow removal happens, the snow is swept from the drive lane and the bike lane. The plow simply moves its plow over to the edge of the road as it's currently doing. So there isn't an effect on snow removal. However, if you're talking about a protected cycle track, those are often thinner than your main roadway, and they can require a separate truck. So the city of Buffalo's DPW just uses a pickup truck with a front end plow that is able to get that out of there. And so that's how it's affected when you're talking protected cycle track. You just use a different size truck from the same, you know, Department of Public Works. In terms of Tonawanda, yeah, I'm a little unclear on that question as well for River Road. But if they provided any clarity, I'm happy to answer it.
All right, Kevin, now this is my question. So I run on the Clarence bike path, and I always run to the side, right, because it is a bike path, and I want to make sure that bikers have all the room. I just need a little bit of the side to run. But I'm noticing more and more electric bikes going top speed on the Clarence bike path. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, electric bikes are an electric issue. So we put out notices. One, you are legally required to have a bell on your bike in order to ride. And you use that bell not just to say hello to your pals, but to provide warning to people who are walking or biking in front of you so you don't scare the hell out of them as you go flying by. And then that's just basically a courtesy. But in terms of high speed, I think right now e-bikes are certainly experiencing a surge. We love that they are, most of the buyers we see from our shop on Broadway where we sell those are over age 50. And they're saying, I really wasn't up to biking the way I used to. And now that I got this e-bike, I can, and I go further. So of course we love hearing that. And we want people to have that feeling that they can ride again. But they do need to be responsible. And I think the way to tackle this issue of e-bike speeding is first to make laws about manufacturing. The manufacturer should have caps on the speed that their bikes can produce. That's going to be the easiest way to do it. And then after that, we have to get out instruction to people about the danger that going that fast presents. The actual physics of a high-speed cyclist hitting someone who is a pedestrian who's basically stationary at 20, 25 miles an hour is going to cause serious injury. We're often against the F-250s that are speeding down the road that will guaranteed to kill someone, whether they're wearing a helmet or not. Those are our bigger concerns than the injuries that could be caused by an e-bike. But people need to understand that colliding in those will hurt someone else, and they need to act accordingly. We also do not see responsible helmet use with an e-bike. If you're able to get up to 20 miles an hour and you're not wearing a helmet, you're asking for severe brain injury or worse. And oftentimes a standard bike helmet is not enough. People should be considering e-bike helmets, which are another class, when they're riding those. So ultimately with e-bikes, it is be courteous. You give warning to those ahead of you. There's no need to speed. You should really consider that electricity portion of it and assist. Those tier one, tier two e-bikes that really pedal assist, they really help people get going from a stop at a red light, things like that. Those are excellent examples of how e-bikes can be effective. When you're just using that throttle and cruising at top speed, you're pretty much acting like a motorcycle. So we don't want to see heavy regulation come down on e-bikes. That's going to discourage riding. And the fewer people you see riding, the less safe our roads become. And again, this was providing a lifeline for older adults especially. So we need the community as a whole to be more responsible when they're on e-bikes, and that's going to keep regulation away and keep e-bike open to those who need it and those who enjoy it safely.
Kevin, last question. This is my last question. I know I said that was. This is my last question.
That's right.
And I'm sure we'll have you on when this gets closer, but July 20th, 2025, Skyride, and it's actually branching out to the 190 this year.
Thank you so much for mentioning that. Yeah, I've been managing the permits for that since January, and we are so close to the finish line. It's the first time we will ever add I-190 to the Skyride. And we're so excited about it. We're trying to come up with artistic ways to demonstrate the route because, when we're looking at it on the map, we're like, this is going to be so cool to take, the off ramps into circles and shoot north, see the new Ralph Wilson Park on your left, and then you come back down and you're going to get another amazing view of the city's skyline. People see that when they're kind of going 65 miles an hour in their car, but when you get at a cyclist speed and can truly enjoy it on that highway closed to cars, it is just going to be incredible. So we'll still have the same ride up and down the Skyway as we've had, the same pre and post party out at the Outer Harbor's concert venue. But this year we take that 190 North off ramp and we fly. It's going to be so cool. Our team can't wait. We're designing apparel now. We're booking music. We're booking photographers. getting those drone photographers ready, because it's just going to look so incredible. So really hope everybody takes advantage of this opportunity. We don't know how many times we'll be able to add additional highways to this ride. So this is one chance to get in on it, and you can find out more at skyridebuffalo.org.
Sounds like a great time. Hey, Kevin, really appreciate you joining us and all the insight on this, and look forward to talking to you again as we get closer to July 20th or as we have another road diet proposal. We'll be in touch.
Anytime. Thanks so much.
That is Kevin Heffernan from Go Bike Buffalo.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.